Welcome to Base by Base, the podcast Genomic Discoveries. Imagine for a moment a world where cancer treatment isn't this frustrating trial and error process, but instead it's a precisely personalized strategy. Mm. You know, something crafted specifically to outsmart your unique disease. That's the incredible promise, almost futuristic, of drug combination therapy. But here's the huge challenge. It's something that has really vexed researchers for decades. The sheer number of possible drug combinations is just, well, it's astronomical.
It really is.
If you just consider two drugs, right, and then factor in all the different ways they might interact across countless different cell lines, I mean, the possibilities just explode exponentially. Mm-hmm. It creates this data space that's so vast. It's practically impossible to test every single one in a lab. We just can't try every pairing to find those potentially life-saving combinations.
No way. It's unfeasible.
So how do we possibly discover these perfect pairings? You know, without spending decades and billions of dollars just blindly testing in labs, what if there was a new approach, something that could dramatically speed up this discovery process, maybe offering a shortcut to more effective, more personalized treatments? We're talking about, well, a revolutionary method, one that uses advanced machine learning to tackle this sparse data problem head on. It looks at drugs in entirely new ways, almost like it's seeing hidden connections nobody's ever noticed before.
And today we're really celebrating some truly groundbreaking work, work that's pushed the boundaries of what we thought was possible in drug discovery. This deep dive into our sources reveals the incredible contributions of a really dedicated research team. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Hao Wenju, Chasheng Lin, Eddie Wojcik, Zixuan Lu, Jianzu Ma, Sheng Zhang, Huifeng Poon, Liu Wang, and Sheng Wan.
That's quite a team.
It is. And these researchers represent a powerful collaboration across several leading institutions. You've got the University of Washington, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, Tsinghua University, Microsoft Research, and the Mayo Clinic.
Wow. Heavy hitters.
Absolutely. Their pivotal work, which was published on July 9, 2025, in Cell Genomics, that's issue 5, page 108-89-2, has profoundly advanced our understanding of predicting drug combination synergy. And they achieved this through a really novel multimodal data augmentation approach, a significant step forward, a big one in our quest to find better, more targeted treatments.
And what a critical quest that is. I mean, drug combination therapy is so crucial for cancer because it taps into something called synergistic effects.
Definitely synergy.
This is where the combined impact of two drugs is way greater than just adding up their individual activities. Think of it like 1 + 1 = 3 or maybe even 10.
Yeah, it's a multiplicative effect, not just additive.
Exactly. And this synergy is vital for overcoming drug resistance, which is, you know, a massive hurdle in cancer treatment, and for dramatically improving how effective therapies are overall. We've actually seen some real-world success stories already, like the combination of lenvatinib and gefitinib. That one's delivered some really encouraging results for patients with hepatocellular carcinoma.
That's a perfect example. And from a machine learning perspective, this whole problem is incredibly challenging.
Right.
Because while we need highly expressive models, models that can capture those really complex, nonlinear synergistic effects you just described, the sheer volume of possibilities creates this massive hurdle. Consider this. The drug combination space, it grows cubically. That's when you account for two drugs in a specific cell line.
Cubically? Wow.
Yeah. So the number of combinations you could test goes up incredibly fast. And this inherent limitation, it leads to experimental data that is just incredibly sparse.
Okay.
Imagine trying to find a needle in a haystack, but you only have like a few scattered pieces of hay to actually search through.
Not easy.
Not at all. And this sparsity makes it very easy for those expressive models to overfit.
Ah, overfitting, meaning they learn the training data too well.
Exactly. They learn the limited data they have perfectly, but then they fail to predict accurately on new combinations they haven't seen before.
Right, which is what you actually need them to do.
Precisely. Even with these ambitious large-scale cancer pharmacology projects, things like GDSC, BeatAML, NCI Almanac, and AstraZeneca's Dream Challenge, which generate vast amounts of data.
Yeah, there's a lot of data out there now.
There is, but there's still this pressing need for machine learning. It's truly essential if we want to overcome the immense experimental costs and, you know, rapidly accelerate the path towards precision medicine.
Makes sense.
And this challenge, it isn't actually unique to drug discovery. It's a more general problem we encounter in AI, especially with something called multimodality fusion.
Multimodality fusion. Okay, what's that?
So it's about combining different types of data. Think text, images, chemical structures, gene expression, all sorts of different things.
Ah, okay.
And while combining these different data types, these modalities, is incredibly powerful, it's often hindered. Because, you know, all these different data types aren't universally available for every single instance, for every drug or every cell line.
Right. You might have the chemical structure, but not the side effect data, or vice versa.
Exactly. And that makes traditional data alignment really difficult. And it limits the true power of these advanced AI models.
So how do we break through that barrier then? This is where Pisces comes in, right? This novel machine learning model designed specifically to overcome this sparse data problem in drug synergy prediction. So tell me, how does Pisces actually achieve this feat of seeing more with less data?
Well, the key idea behind Pisces is quite ingenious, really. Instead of trying to generate new experimental data, which, as we said, is expensive and time-consuming,
right,
it augments the sparse data sets we already have. And it does this by creating multiple views for each existing drug combination. Yeah, these views are generated based on different complementary ways we can describe and understand a drug using various data modalities.
Okay, so what kind of modalities are we talking about?
Pisces integrates an impressive 8 distinct drug modalities for just a single drug.
8. Okay.
Yeah. So these include SMILES, which are basically simple text strings representing chemical structures, mm-hmm. like a unique molecular fingerprint.
Okay.
Then you have molecular graphs, which show the bonding structure visually, like a network. Three-dimensional molecular structures, which capture how they're arranged in 3D space.
Right, the actual shape.
Exactly. Then drug targets the specific biological molecules in the body that the drug actually interacts with. Textual descriptions of the drugs, pulling info from scientific papers and databases.
Interesting.
There are known side effects, drug response data from various tests showing how a drug behaves in experiments. And finally, drug ontology, which is how drugs are classified and related within a kind of hierarchical system.
Wow. Okay. So Pisces takes all these different angles on a single drug, almost like looking at it through 8 different specialized lenses.
That's a great way to put it.
And then it brings them together through 3 main components, I gather. First, there's the projector. My understanding is this component learns separate neural networks and encoders for each of those 8 modalities.
Correct.
And its job is to take all this diverse information, text, 3D structures, everything, and translate it into what they call a shared embedding space. Am I right in thinking this makes different modalities comparable, like translating 8 languages into one common language?
Precisely.
And in doing that, it effectively expands the original single drug data up to 8 times.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That shared embedding space is absolutely critical for making these seemingly disparate data types comparable. And then you move to the augmentor.
Okay.
And this is where the real cleverness happens, especially for drug pairs.
Right.
So for any given pair of drugs, Pisces takes the augmented views of each individual drug and systematically combines them. For example, if drug A has, say, 5 available modalities and drug B has 4,
mm-hmm.
Pisces can combine them into 20 unique augmented views for that specific drug pair, 5 times 4.
Ah, I see. It pairs up every available view from one drug with every available view from the other.
Exactly. And this process can potentially expand the original drug pair data up to a whopping 64 times. That's 8 times 8, if all modalities are present for both.
64 views for one drug pair. That's huge.
It is. And this is brilliant because it elegantly circumvents the missing modality challenge. Instead of needing all 8 modalities for both drugs to be perfectly aligned for a single data point.
Which rarely happens, as you said.
Right. It simply treats each modality pair as a separate, valid data instance. This generates a really rich set of diverse perspectives for each drug combination.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And finally, there's the aggregator. So after generating up to 64 potential predictions for a drug pair and cell line, Pisces needs to make one single confident prediction. How does it manage that? How does it filter out the noise from maybe less reliable views?
Yeah, good question. It uses an aggregation strategy inspired by something called noisy label learning. Essentially, it doesn't just average all 64 predictions, because some might be better than others.
Okay.
Instead, it strategically considers only the top K predictions, for instance. The paper often uses the top 8 most confident predictions, and it effectively zeroes out or, you know, disregards the rest.
No, it focuses on the strongest signal.
Exactly. This cleverly excludes potential noise from lower quality or less certain augmentations. Then, it integrates these chosen top predictions into a final, robust prediction using a sophisticated neural network architecture known as ResNet.
Ah, ResNet. Yeah, that's widely used in deep learning.
It's very good at learning complex patterns from diverse inputs like this.
This whole approach sounds incredibly powerful, at least in theory. But, you know, the true test is always performance. So how did this multimodal approach actually deliver? What kind of results did Pisces achieve in practice?
Well, first, the study looked into why this multimodal approach seems to work so well.
Okay.
And they found something interesting. While the different modalities generally agree quite well, they showed a statistical correlation, a Spearman correlation, greater than 0.6.
So they're mostly pointing in the same direction.
Mostly, yes. But they're also significantly complementary, meaning no correlation between any two modalities was greater than 0.8.
Ah, so they aren't just saying the same thing in different ways. Each one adds unique information.
Precisely. Each modality truly adds unique, valuable information, not just redundant data. And this finding absolutely reinforces Pisces' innovative design. It shows that integrating these diverse perspectives genuinely adds value.
Okay, cool. So what about the actual predictions, like for cell lines?
Right. When it came to cell line-based drug synergy prediction, Pisces demonstrated truly state-of-the-art results. It was tested on the GDSC combo dataset, and it outperformed 5 existing approaches.
Outperformed them? By how much?
Well, the improvements were really significant. Pisces showed impressive gains in its predictive power. Specifically, it achieved at least 21.4% to 23.8% improvement in F1 score across different data split settings.
F1 score. Remind us what that measures.
Sure. The F1 score is a crucial metric. It balances precision, how many of the predicted synergies are real, and recall how many of the real synergies did it find. So a higher F1 means the model is much better at both identifying true synergistic combinations and avoiding false positives.
Got it. So a big jump in F1 is a big deal.
It really is. And this improvement wasn't just in simple cross-validation. It held up in more challenging scenarios too. For example, in the split by drug combination setting, which simulates predicting for new drug combinations the model has never seen before.
Right, the really hard test.
Yeah. Pisces still showed strong performance. And even more impressively, in the split by cell line setting, which is kind of like predicting for new patients or new tumor types, Pisces still achieved a substantial 10% F1 improvement. This really demonstrates its generalizability, even to less similar new cell lines, which is absolutely vital if you want to apply this clinically.
That generalizability is key. What's even more exciting, I thought, was its ability to predict multi-drug combinations.
Yeah.
It was trained only on 2 drug data, right?
Only pairs.
But it showed remarkable ability to predict synergy for 3 drug combinations.
It did. It achieved a very strong predictive accuracy score, an AUROC of 0.8525.
Wow.
And to give a concrete example, Pisces predicted that lincinib would be the most effective 3rd drug when combined with vatinib and framatim for colon adenocarcinoma.
And is there any evidence for that?
Yes. Okay. This isn't just a theoretical prediction. Prior research actually supports this finding. So that's a huge leap forward. It really opens the door to discovering more complex, potentially more effective multi-drug cocktails.
That's incredible. Okay, moving towards clinical relevance, what about the breast cancer pathway work?
Right. So the team also used Pisces to identify a potential breast cancer drug-sensitive pathway. They applied Pisces to predict responses for over 176,000 unmeasured drug cell line triplets.
176,000 predictions.
Yeah. And what they found was pretty stark. Only a small percentage, about 5.1%, were predicted to be synergistic.
Only 5%.
And think about that. Out of 176,000 potential combinations, less than 1 in 20 might actually work synergistically.
That really highlights the needle in a haystack problem you mentioned.
It absolutely does. It's a stark reminder of why a tool like Pisces isn't just helpful, it's potentially essential to avoid wasting resources on dead ends.
So what did they find in that 5%?
Well, by integrating Pisces predictions with a genetic interaction network, the researchers identified a specific breast cancer drug-sensitive pathway.
Okay.
This pathway consists of 19 genes and 32 connections between them. And it includes 8 known drug targets and 11 synthetic dosage lethality or SDL interactions.
SDL, that's where hitting 2 things at once is lethal to cancer cells, but maybe not normal cells.
Exactly. It's a key concept in targeted therapy.
Mm.
And significantly, many genes in this identify pathway belong to the crucial PI3K and AGFRHR families.
Ah, those are really well-known players in cancer progression.
They are. Very well studied.
And here's the part that really got me the clinical validation. They tested this pathway idea on actual patient data, right?
They did. using the TCGA breast cancer tumor data set.
Yeah.
And the results were striking. ER plus patients, that's estrogen receptor positive, whose tumors showed this pathway is being activated.
Yeah.
They had substantially longer overall survival times and also disease-free survival times.
Substantially longer? How confident are we in that?
Very confident. The statistical significance was high log rank p-values less than 0.011 and 0.017. That means it's very unlikely these correlations happen just by chance.
Wow.
And interestingly, even if you didn't consider the ER status, just having this pathway activated correlated with significantly longer survival.
So this isn't just a statistical quirk. It seems biologically relevant. It could potentially be used as a biomarker.
That's the implication. It provides a potential roadmap for identifying patients who might respond best to certain therapies, maybe even before treatment starts. It's a step towards transforming how we use genetic info in the clinic.
That's huge. Okay, what about beyond cell lines? Did it work in more complex models like animal models?
Yes, it did. Pisces also proved its mettle in xenograft-based drug synergy prediction. Xenografts are where you implant human tumors into mice, so it simulates the in vivo setting within the living organism a bit more closely.
Right, a step closer to patients.
Exactly. And it successfully predicted tumor volume changes what they called best response on these patient-derived tumor xenografts. This was across 12,238 drug combinations and 277 different xenograft models. And again, it outperformed other existing methods.
Okay, impressive again. And I read something about predicting tumor growth over time.
Yes, that was another remarkable finding, its temporal prediction capability.
Mm.
Pisces could predict tumor growth at unobserved time points with high accuracy.
How high?
They reported a Pearson correlation of 0.47 and a p-value less than 1 × 10⁻⁻¹.
Whoa. 10⁻⁻¹, that's basically zero chance it's random. And 0.47 correlation is pretty strong for biological data like this.
It's very strong. It means it could even extrapolate effectively to the last observed time point. And when they visualized the internal representations, the embeddings that Pisces learned, they actually showed a kind of chronological tumor growth pattern. And it could even help identify instances of potential drug resistance.
That's so.
Well, for example, the model revealed quite diverse drug responses for two drugs, INC-424 and benamitinib, across different xenograft models. It suggested aggressive tumor growth and potential resistance in specific models, like X3846 and X2564.
So it's not just predicting a final outcome, but potentially seeing how a tumor might react over time and maybe when resistance kicks in.
That's the potential. Getting that kind of insight before treatment starts could help doctors make much smarter choices right from day one.
Amazing. Okay, one more area. Drug interactions, DDIs. How did Pisces fare there?
It also proved highly effective in drug interaction prediction. It outperformed existing approaches on large standard data sets like DrugBank that has over 191,000 pairs and 86 interaction types and two sides, with over 63,000 pairs and 963 interaction types.
And again, the key thing for me was its generalizability. It worked well even when faced with new drugs in the PIS pairs, right? Drugs it hadn't seen during training.
Exactly. One or even both drugs in the pair could be new, and it still performed robustly. That really speaks to its ability to understand underlying principles, not just memorize patterns it's seen before.
That's crucial.
And this led to another exciting outcome. They could identify novel DDI networks by looking at significant interactions between entire drug classes.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Well, for instance, Pisces predicted that nabumetone, an anti-inflammatory drug, might increase the arrhythmogenic activities, heart rhythm problems of salicylaldehyde. And there's some literature suggesting nabumetone might exacerbate cardiovascular risks, so that fits.
Okay. Yeah.
Another example was diazoxide possibly increasing the anticoagulant activities of salbutamol, which kind of aligns with diazoxide's known effects on vascular activity.
So these aren't just theoretical predictions pulled out of thin air. They have potential real-world implications for patient safety.
Absolutely. And for accelerating responsible drug development by flagging potential interactions early.
Okay, so if we try to connect all these dots, what's the bigger picture here?
Well, I think Pisces represents a really substantial leap forward. Its innovative multimodal data augmentation approach allows it to effectively predict both drug synergy and drug interactions much better than before.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just, you know, a scientific curiosity. It directly facilitates future drug discovery and seems to have wide applicability across many biomedical fields, from basic research all the way to personalized medicine.
That's a powerful summary of its impact. But like you always say, no model is perfect, right? Mm. Especially one this innovative. What did the author see as limitations or maybe future opportunities?
Right, that's a crucial point. And the authors were commendably open about limitations, which really just paved the way for future research.
Good science does that.
Exactly. So first, interpretability. With potentially 64 modality pairs feeding into a prediction, it can be hard to tell which specific modalities or views were most important for that particular prediction.
Right, the black box problem.
Sort of. So future work aims to address this using local interpretation methods to peek inside that box. Second, the current model doesn't tackle different prediction types like synergy, side effects, interactions all together in a single multitask learning framework.
Ah, so it predicts them separately now.
Yes. Integrating them could make the model even more comprehensive and powerful. That's a clear future direction.
Oh.
Third, the three-drug combination prediction, while super exciting, was still more exploratory. That's mainly due to the limited amount of training data available for such complex combinations. More data will really help there.
Makes sense. Need the data.
And finally, specifically for the breast cancer pathway they identified, they noted they didn't explicitly consider cases where a gene is both a drug target and happened to be overexpressed in that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Looking into that could offer even deeper biological insights.
Gotcha. And did they suggest other future directions beyond addressing those limitations?
They did. They suggested things like integrating even more advanced foundation models like Mulformer, maybe as new modalities to add even more perspective.
Keep adding more lenses to look through.
Exactly. And applying those local interpretation methods we mentioned, which is really essential for building trust and ultimately accelerating clinical adoption. People need to understand why the model is making a prediction.
Absolutely critical for medicine. So, boiling it all down, what's the real take-home message here?
I'd say ultimately, Pisces represents a major leap in predicting drug combination effects and interactions.
Mm-hmm.
By cleverly leveraging diverse data modalities and using smart data augmentation, it significantly overcomes that critical challenge of sparse biological data sets.
Mm-hmm.
And this really paves the way for more efficient, more effective drug development, and maybe most importantly, for more personalized patient care down the line.
Which brings us back to that opening thought. What does this mean for how quickly we might find the next breakthrough cancer therapy? Or how we might design truly personalized treatment plans, moving beyond trial and error towards targeted precision for patients with complex conditions. It certainly opens up some fascinating and, frankly, incredibly hopeful possibilities for the future of medicine. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you found this analysis valuable, the best way to support Base by Base is to hit follow on Spotify and leave a 5-star rating. It takes only a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science Base by Base.